Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Conversations with the Citizen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with the Citizen. I'm your host, Catherine, and I'm here today with Nicole Jordan, who is the coordinator for Grassroots Alliance for Police Accountability, also known as GAPA. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
So I am very interested to hear about GAPA. So let's just start there. What do I need to know? What is the Grassroots Alliance for Police Accountability? The goals, the purpose, you know, just what you would tell somebody that knows nothing, because that's pretty much me at this point.
So the Grassroots Alliance for Police Accountability, or GAPA, came together in 2016, immediately after the release of the Police Accountability Task Force report that was released, which was commissioned by then Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who, after the release of the Laquan McDonald video and everything that kind of happened with that, he commissioned this task force. They came out with a set of scathing report and a set of recommendations for significant changes that needed to happen as it related to police accountability here in Chicago, and oversight. So part of those recommendations were put forth, which was changing IPRA to COPA, which is changing the structure and everything of IPRA, what was IPRA, to what is now COPA, the development of finding a deputy inspector general that was specifically focused on public safety concerns in Chicago. And then it was also a recommendation for the development of a community oversight board, and specifically a community oversight board that was developed from the ground up as opposed to top down as everything is done in Chicago. Groups that came, that later formed what is now GAPA, came together and held a press conference because the mayor was going to kind of just put forth all these recommendations and do everything on the fifth floor and then roll it out. And groups came together and said, you know, follow the recommendations of the task force that you commissioned, and allow for a community engagement process to happen to develop a community oversight board from the ground up. For whatever reason, whether it be for the right reason or the wrong reason or whatever reason, he conceded and did not put forth a community oversight board recommendation, but allowed for a community engagement process to take place. From there, GAPA commenced to have a full citywide. When I say citywide, I mean specifically marginalized communities and communities of color is probably a better way of saying it. And we had 19 community conversations where we had roughly 2,000 community residents come out and join in conversations that were not attended by aldermen nor police officers. As a police officer, maybe some came in plain clothes, but it wasn't an invitation for police officers or for any no media. We wanted it to be as a safe place as possible to have a real legitimate conversation about what police accountability looks like in Chicago. And we posed really one question as a part of this meeting, which was, if you could change something about the Chicago Police Department, what would it be? And as you could imagine, we had huge array of responses that the pendulum swung from left to right, which was, you know, everything is fine, we just need support no more, to blow the whole thing up and let's start again, right? And so we released from those sets of conversations, we released our first report in March of 2017, which highlighted like the 300 most, prevalent responses, or like the middle space. And we acknowledged the two ends of the spectrum, but we really focused in on what the majority of the people who attended those conversations had to say about changes that were needed for the Chicago Police Department. And it really echoed a lot of what the Police Accountability Task Force report said. It echoed the DOJ report. But unlike those reports, these were coming directly from the experiences and the interactions of community residents on a day-to-day basis and what they would like to see change as it relates to Chicago Police Department and its accountability system. And so that is what GAPA has done. And so since then, since 2016, we have worked on, we used that first set of conversations and community engagement and report to continue this series, this long period of community engagement, weekly meetings, biweekly meetings, of really digging through what the public accountability system looks like, from how does a report even go in, where does it go, like follow the report. Because a lot of people in the communities didn't even know, I make a report and it just goes into a black hole somewhere.
Yeah.
And so we really broke down.
That's how it feels.
Exactly. And so we broke down how, you know, a report is found and then where it gets lost. And then we had real conversations, not only on the ground here, but we tapped other cities across the country to see what they were doing. And to see, and we talked to national experts who've studied this topic. Obviously, there's no silver bullet, no pun intended. There's no, like, I guess, North Star is probably a better way to say it. There's no North Star because every city has different politics, has different constituencies. But we knew that other cities were doing something similar, and we studied that. So we put together this national platform of, you know, information, and we put it next to what we were saying here, and we used both sets of information with guided completely by community residents that were a part of this process to develop these recommendations for an ordinance that we introduced in 2018. It's a lot of work.
So with all of that being said, I do want to, you know, ask you if you could just, like, very succinctly state, I guess, what your end goal, what the end goal of GAPA would be. You know, how would you say that? If you could just say it in, you know, one or two sentences, mm-hmm. What's the goal?
The goal is to have a body of people who are selected through a process that yields the most, the potentially best trust and independence to be able to provide not just back-end accountability for Chicago Police Department and the current oversight structure, but really to be able to focus on front-end accountability so that we have less back-end situations to have to hold people accountable for.
And so I want to talk about, you know, how you are attempting to reach that goal. I want to talk specifically about the Community Commission for Public Safety Ordinance that I believe has just been reintroduced.
Yes.
Yeah. So why don't you just tell me what you can, first of all, about this ordinance, what it aims to do and address, and then, you know, we can talk a little bit about the history.
Yeah. So I think the ordinance can be broken down into two parts. The first part, again, talks about, is really focuses heavily on front-end accountability. Every single piece of accountability mechanisms that exist here in Chicago is dealing with the issue once something has happened. Mm-hmm. We live in a democracy. We live in a democratic society. Everything is done democratically, except for how policing happens. And so we have entrusted fully to the Chicago Police Department how policing of community should happen, void of the voices, experiences, and thoughts of those who are being policed. Mm-hmm. And that has to change, because once you actually have people who, once you have buy-in and once you have buy-in and you have the conversation of all parties involved, you actually end up with a better product and less damages, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And so the first part, it really thinks about, so the actual commission is a 9-member commission, who all 9 members, it's written into the ordinance that they have to have, there's like specific criteria for the different slots, because we wanted to make sure we had a commission that had the acumen and the experience to handle the heaviness of what of Chicago, mm-hmm. and the concerns here, but also was able to really judge carefully from a community perspective how policies and how things are actually rolling out of Chicago Police Department and how it's impacting the community residents and how those things can change. But then also, nothing changes if you don't change leadership. And so if we continue to select leadership of these important entities in Chicago in a vacuum, specifically from fifth floor down, without any buy-in from the community, then you are consistently putting into place someone who may or may not have a concern for the needs of those who they are supposed to be protecting and serving, who they're leading in the protecting and serving business. And so that's really in a synopsis of the commission. That's what they would be charged to do, is to really look at policy selection and removal of the chief of COPA and the superintendent for the Chicago Police Department. But then also, what we don't have in Chicago, which everyone who lives in Chicago experiences, which is annual performance reviews. And so a big part of it is really having the Chicago Police Department and COPA Police Board to sit down with the community and say, okay, what are our goals for this year? Is it training? Is it reduction of violence or what have you? And how do we do that together? And then coming back the next year and saying, okay, did we meet these goals? If not, why? And how do we meet the goals for next year? Because if we're not, whatever is measured, you know, whatever is looked after looks up. And if we don't have a level of accountability to the community in that way, then what are we really saying about the community? We're saying that we are creating and we are really reinforcing that the police can do this by themselves. And it's been shown that they cannot do this absent of community input and participation. The second part of it is the development of what's called district councils, which would be three people elected per police district to really become liaisons, if you will, between the Chicago Police Department and the community. These would be people who are, you know, accountable, obviously, to the communities in which they serve or live within the district boundaries of the Chicago, of the police district. And then they would be charged with working closely with leadership in the, at the local level, as well as community police officers and police officers that work, you know, in the various beats to really take the needs and concerns of the community residents that they're serving and having that, that conversation with them. But then also being a safe place for the community residents to talk to and to think through, like, well, how do we want this area of our city to really be policed and how do we want to build relationships? Currently, we have a situation where community policing in every facet is owned by the Chicago Police Department. And if you have a breakdown of trust between the police department and the community they serve, and they own the community policing factor, then at what point does someone who actually have a concern have an entryway?
Yeah.
So,
and how will they be, they'll be elected by community residents?
Absolutely. Okay. So it will follow a general election. So every 2 years, there will be a new election for district council persons.
And then I guess I maybe don't have a great grasp on what COPA does, but I kind of thought they were already doing the oversight. How is this different than what COPA is already doing?
Again, COPA focuses specifically on back-end accountability
after something has happened.
So a police officer does something egregious, there's a egregious allegation against him or her, or whatever, anything that would cause like suspension or, you know, firing or like anything that would be massive, COPA steps in to do investigation. But then again, we have it, the situation has already been done. COPA
to prevent.
Exactly. And I mean, don't get me wrong. You need the investigative body that, because at one point, if you remember, I'm not sure if you're old enough to remember, we had police investigating police for when things were happening. So this civilian body was developed of trying to separate the relationships. But again, there has not really been any real thought put into how do we stop these things from happening in the first place.
And so I want to talk a little bit of just about, you know, the history of this ordinance. Is this the second time that it's been introduced to City Council?
Yes, so we introduced the first ordinance in 2018. Obviously, we had a new city council with a lot of changes and a new mayor, and so everything had to be reintroduced this year for this new city council.
And so where are we at right now with this? You know, what's the status? What are the next steps? Is there anything we can do to support this moving forward?
So, you know, who knew that the person who chaired the Police Accountability Task Force would become the mayor and who led the charge in really understanding the depth of the concerns with the Chicago Police Department, particularly as it relates to communities that they serve, marginalized and communities of color. And Mayor Lightfoot has publicly stated on several occasions, both as a candidate and since she has become mayor, that passing this ordinance will be a very real part of her 100-day strategy. And so we are confident that because of how many times and how publicly she has expressed her commitment to the development of a community oversight board, such as the one put forth by GAPA, that they will honor their word in moving forward. And I think the community at large can really, you know, talk to their aldermen about making sure they're in support of community oversight and understanding that it's not us against the police. You know, this is how do we come together as one Chicago and have mutual accountability for safer streets for everyone to get home at night.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely been kind of a mantra across the city. It's just that time for rebuilding. It seems like everybody's ready.
Yeah.
So really the only other thing that I'm really interested in hearing about is you. I'm just curious, you know, how you got into this position coordinating for GAPA, you know, how your life experiences have led you to find this work to be important. You know, if there's anything you can share with me just about, you know, why this motivates you.
Yeah. So I grew up on the west side of Chicago in Austin. And we all know Austin has its challenges. Even right now, I still have a lot of family. My nieces are living in Austin, and I'm very concerned about, you know, the community in general. But specifically, I have a heart for the Austin community. But then I moved to Auburn Gresham, which is right next door to Englewood. And so I've lived literally, you know, the issue of police accountability has impacted my family directly over the years. And not to say that was specifically the reason why I got into this work. I think I've always had a heart for people. But more importantly, I started really understanding structural racism, and I started really understanding what structural racism looks like, and that there is no one there's no one answer to really getting our communities out of the place they're in. But we look at disinvestment and how all these things are playing a huge role in our community's demise. And that impacts me. Obviously, I'm an African-American woman. And I watch, you know, my kids, and I say my kids as in the kids who I watch grow up, and kids from my background, my community, are born oftentimes into circumstances that are beyond their control. And so my heart bleeds for that. And I came into this work. I've been working in community organizing space for roughly 15 years. And I've done a lot of coalition building work as a part of my career path. And I think when GAPA came along, I had somewhat of a relationship with a lot of the member organizations. I had a reputation for being somewhat personable. coalition work is interesting because you are really managing a lot of interests, a lot of concerns at the same time. And so if you want to effectively lead a coalition, you have to be able to try your best to unbiasedly hear and make decisions and bring everyone together to move forward, or the whole thing will go to shreds and no one, you won't get the end goal. And there's a challenge there, but then it's like, it's almost like when you work out and you have that muscle pain, but you know it's a good pain. It's like, yeah. It's like it's a lot of work, but it's like good work, you know?
Yeah, you know, like 6 months down the road, you're gonna be happy, exactly.
Yeah. So that's how I got here. That's what keeps me here on hard days. That's what keeps me here through hard administrations is that, you know, I have a 6-year-old daughter, and my goal in life is that hopefully I leave the world a little bit better for her, mm-hmm. to, for her to kick the can a little bit further down the road than I was able to, and it knows who are a part of my generation were able to.
And so if the ordinance, or when the ordinance does pass, because it sounds like, you know, it's more likely that it will than won't, but will GAPA kind of oversee the whole development, like the implementation, or does that get taken away from you once it becomes a city ordinance?
So the goal is for it not to be taken away, yeah. from the community. That would be very counterproductive. So GAPA organizations definitely have a vested interest in really thinking through successful implementation. Chicago also has a history of like following the sexiest thing until it's no longer the sexiest thing and then moving on to the next. And our goal is for that to not happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do have a vested interest in making sure that implementation is done responsibly. So we definitely have a vested interest in making sure that implementation is done responsibly, specifically for we have a responsibility to community members who are impacted by this that we work with on a mm-hmm. daily basis.
Okay, well, that is the extent of the questions that I have for you today. If there's anything else you'd like to share with me or any, like, websites, social media, anything you want to quickly share so people can follow along, you're welcome to.
Yeah, so again, thank you for having me. I hope that I was able to be somewhat informative. Definitely. About the work that we've been doing. Our website is www.chicagogapa.org. And so we are working to make sure that it's actively updated and that people can know what the latest happenings are. Again, if I could just encourage people to really have conversations with their aldermen and let their aldermen know that it's past time in Chicago for community voices to be at the table for every part of our lives, because the Chicago Police Department and its investigative authorities cannot solve the problem by themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us, including every Chicago police officer, including every black man, including every whatever Hispanic or Latina, every one of us that live in the city of Chicago or work in the city of Chicago has a goal to get back home safely to our families at night. And so we all should be working to make sure that happens.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming today. I really appreciate you sharing with me.
Thank you.
And once again, everybody, this is Conversations with a Citizen. I'm Catherine, and we are done for today, but I'll be back next week.
Remember to make plans to join us again next week for Conversations with a Citizen, the place where real news can be heard.